welcome to A Few Goldilocks Bears podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about things we love, things that we hate, and things in the middle. This could be things that we're indifferent about, that we're ambivalent about, that we're on the fence about. These are the gray areas of life. These are the things that aren't in the black and white, that they don't maintain to your precious polar opposites.
Hello, this is Vincent Cloud.
I'm John Emmett.
And I'm David Lauer.
And, you know, let's do those topics, but hold on, hold your horses. Let's talk about old topics. In a segment we call the Daisha Fuse. Go ahead, Dave.
A couple episodes ago, we were talking, Vince, you had a topic about hating people who love to get into arguments, and they're all about getting into arguments. And this is kind of somewhat related, but I forgot to bring it up. The only time I like to listen to people argue is if they're British. Because British people in an argument are just amazing. They're so civil and sophisticated, and like they'll get very ticked off, but they're like, but they'll still have manners about themselves. They'll be like, well, sir, I would say to that, I fear that this is what's really going on here. And it's just, it's so like, oh, it's like they're having an argument, but like they're being polite at the same time. And that's like a fine art to be able to do that, where most people are just like, blah, 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 blah. And they're just annoying and stupid and just like trying to shove their opinion at you. But we're like, British people will be like very like noble about it. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, we agree to disagree, sir. Good day.
And it's, yeah, and if you ever watch videos of like British Parliament, like they can be savage with each other. Like here, if it was said in like an American accent, it would just seem like so disrespectful and like just completely out of line. But for whatever reason, it seems to work over there.
Thus thinks thy mother. Fell out of the tree of ugly. King of limbs. That does sound more sophisticated for sure. Yeah. Yeah, there's people that are good at it and shit. I was gonna say there's some lawyer shit. I mean, sometimes they're using terms I don't really understand, like in movies or whatever, but I'm like, yeah. All right, is that it? We start the show. Okay, go ahead, John.
All right, I love Australian slang, and I'm unfortunately not going to attempt an Australian accent at all during this.
No.
But, although the words really only work when you do, but I don't know. I just find it very lighthearted and like amusing the way they talk about a lot of stuff. It seems like you either have to like shorten everything, like you know, like breakfast becomes like brekkie, or like sunglasses are sunnies, or like if you're taking like a sick day off, it's a sickie.
No, like you chuck like a sickie. Chuck a sickie. That's what
yes.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Or like if something's already short, you have to add something onto it. So like you know, like your nickname might be like Dave-O or John-O or whatever to like add on to it to make it more informal. I like just the sound of some of the phrases, you know, like good on ya. Like, you know, or good job, or you did something right, or where something is like fair dinkum. Like, I just like the sound of that. I also like just saying like beauty when, you know, like something looks cool or something looks nice. It's just like a simple way of referring to it. You know, there's like a lot of like funny ones, like a speedo is like a budgie smuggler, like that kind of stuff. Like overall, it just has like you know, like a whimsicality to it, a whimsy to it, and it just seems like very informal and lighthearted and easy go lucky, or is that a word? Whatever. But very not so serious about everything.
Yeah, what do they say in their commercials? Like, you Australians work too hard. They're like even lazier than us. Us being America. And it's basically the same fucking thing, right? They took a country that they used to treat like a prison, and they're like, let's kill all the fucking natives and m make the world think that America and Australia is actually a bunch of white people. Yeah, that's great. Anyways, let's talk about
Yeah, that's exactly what
thongs.
I was getting at.
Thongs are sandals, like put your thongs on. I'd be like, excuse me. But yeah, I never knew. Okay, and this is so common, and I should have figured it out, that Barbie is barbecue. And I think it's probably because they're like, put another shrimp on the Barbie, where I'm like, well, we do we put shrimp on our barbecue? Or I don't know, we don't typically. Yeah. But like you stole the brekkie. I wanted to bring that out. I love that that's breakfast. That's really cool. And yeah, they are very, it's a very like kind of Hawaiian, like hang loose sort of mentality in terms of all those little phrases that they have and shit. Yeah. Hold on though, John, why do you know this? Were you at Australia once?
No, I've never been there yet. I've worked with Australians, and when I used to work in tech support at like, I feel like 4 in the afternoon our time, like Central Standard Time, it would be like 9 a.m. in Australia, or at least in one of their time zones, and they would start to be coming online. So, if you were working later into the evening, it would be the morning for them. So you'd get calls from them, and it was just always a nice change of pace to hear from them. Because like, even when like they were having like horrible outages, like the worst technical issues, it was just always they always seemed like more laid back and easy to deal with than a lot of Americans were.
Wow. What do you guys say, Dave? Is that a roux in your pocket, or are you just having a siesta?
I agree. It's like it's really cool the stuff they say, because it is like a surf's up bro, like it's just like very casual bro talk, it seems like, and they have slang words that are really cool. I was just watching a season of Alone, and there's an Australian season where they're like in Tasmania. I think it's Tasmania. I don't know. It's like a little island that's south of Australia. And all these Australian people are there, and they're just stuck out in the woods. And they're just trying to survive there in the woods, and they got a camera on themselves. So they're just narrating everything they're doing. And half the time, these Australian people are narrating stuff. They're using words for things that I've never heard in my life. And like, much like if you've ever watched the show Alone, they'll have subtitles just kind of explaining what's going on. So they'll use like weird terms for like a downed tree in the water, and you're like, what in the world is that? Or there's like a certain like fish or a certain type of animal in the woods, or a certain type of bug, and they just have all these weird terms that I've never heard. And it's so interesting because they're speaking English. I understand 96% of what they're saying, but somehow the other 4%, where I'm just like, why? I don't know what in the hell they're talking about. And I'm just watching, and I'm like, and then they're, oh my God, they're talking about that thing? What are they talking about? And then they're like, oh, I've been eating these snippets, eating snippets all day. And I'm like, what in the hell is a snippet? Is that a vegetable? Is that a bug or a snail? Like I think they were some kind of oyster or something. I don't know, that they're picking out of the water.
Wow. That's
I do love the
cool.
show Alone, so I need to, yeah, I definitely need to check out the Australian season.
It was ultimately, it was, I don't know. It wasn't as good because it was, I don't know. I'm so used to the seasons in Canada where it gets colder and colder as the season goes on, and the cold is like the deciding factor. And it's not like that on that season, so it was a little weird.
Don't they call us Americans Yanks? Don't they call us that?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I only know that because I watched The Rescuers Down Under in theaters when I was a kid. And the mouse is like, crazy yank. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? What does that mean, Dad? That was crazy.
That's right. That was like my first experience with Australia, I feel like, was
Heck
Rescuers Down Under. I love those movies. Oh my gosh.
yeah.
And then Steve Irwin, like, he was amazing. I always watched him when I was a kid, and like the way he would talk, I was just like, and same with like the Crocodile Dundee movies, where you're like, you would say stuff and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so weird.
Yeah, really. Like Crocodile Dundee, that was his whole gimmick, right? He's like, I'm from someplace else. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really remember the movie being like, I it felt shallow to me. We're just like, no, he's got this crazy accent and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it did not hold up on rewatch. I thought I had good memories, but it didn't hold up. It was like, yeah, he's in New York City now, and you're like, okay, this is not, he's Paul Hogan's not even that funny, or whoever the actor was.
Yeah, well, I feel like he was like a legit comedian in Australia, but then like he ended up making his career on just like acting Australian for like Americans, basically, and kind of lost a lot of respect, I imagine.
That's right. That was it's basically Larry the Cable Guy, where it's like that's not his real persona. It's just this character he created.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Segue challenge.
Crikey, there's a new topic over
Our topics flush the other way.
there.
Okay, I'm gonna go with my hate. I hate nosebleeds. So I've had them quite a bit. It's a weird thing with me. I get nosebleeds right before I'm about to get sick and right before I'm about to get better. Isn't that weird?
That is so
So,
weird.
yeah. But I rarely get sick. So like sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, what is this? Oh, that's right. I'm about to get sick. I never really get them. I mean, so when it does happen, though, you're like, oh my God, so blood is on my hands, or blood is over my face or chin, or it's on my clothes right now, or, they could happen anywhere, right? So hopefully you're not in a public place, but like, dude, lay off the fucking blow, man. You don't want that. But like, the old ways of taking care of it. Or new ways, whatever, but like, you lie down and then you fucking get feel the blood just like seeping down your throat and stuff. That is
You can
disgusting.
taste that delicious iron.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then you could either stop it with that or a big wad of toilet paper in your nose. And it's just not a cool look. You know what I mean? Like I'd rather take it out and just bleed all over the place than have a dorky looking wad of tissue in your nose. I don't know. I just feel like it's a. Remember in Seinfeld where like the one guy's trying to hit on Elaine and he's like, is it because of the giant wad of toilet paper in my nose? She's like, you're getting close. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, what do you guys have to say about nosebleeds?
I also hate them to the point where I have had both of my nostrils cauterized in order to prevent the frequent nosebleeds I used to get.
What?
Yeah, they like put like a chemical up in your nostril. I'm trying to remember how they did it. It was like 15 years ago when I did it, but like it worked. Basically, they like kind of burn over the. You must have like, what do you call them? Not veins, but like the little ones, the
Capillaries.
capillaries. Yeah, like near the surface that are prone to bleeding, and you can kind of like get scar tissue over them to like prevent it. Yeah, like as a kid and teenager, I used to get nosebleeds all the time. I think I told a story when we were talking about baseball one time that like one of the kids just like, like hit the brim of my hat and it like hit my nose and that caused a nosebleed during the game. And just like Yeah, I would just randomly get them all the time. Like I'd be sitting in class. I remember just like bleeding all over, like a nosebleed coming out of nowhere and like all over my geometry book or something. And like, oh man. And yeah, of course, the solution is the tissue up the nose, the toilet paper up the nose or whatever. Not much else you can do about it.
Yeah, I think the best way is don't tilt your head back and swallow all the blood. That's
Oh,
not
really?
good. Yeah, don't do that. Just lean your head forward, like just let the blood run out of you. It's bad. Just let it go. But you want to put like an ice pack or something cold on your neck, on the back of your neck. And then kind of just tilt your head forward and just kind of let the blood run out rather than swallowing it. Because if you swallow a bunch of blood, you could get upset, like an upset stomach, and get nauseous and then end up vomiting the blood. And then that's really
Whoa,
gross.
yeah.
Because people will do
Metal.
that with their blood vomit. Yeah. On stage four. Like people will have their kids like just tilt your head back and swallow all the blood. Well, then the kid gets, nauseous from swallowing all their own blood, and then they vomit their blood, and then the parents are like, "Oh my God, they're throwing up blood." They're like, "We need to take them to the hospital." And it's like, well, maybe you should have just put an ice pack on their neck and just tilt their head forward and
So
let's
wait,
let the blood.
what does the ice pack do?
It basic. It's supposed to. I don't know how much it would really work, but like kind of. Reducing swelling with cold and constrict some of the vessels. Obviously you're still gonna have like your carotid arteries that are pumping lots of blood to your brain, but hopefully it's gonna kind of restrict some of the other flow a little bit. It might just be like a, what do they call it?
Placebo.
Placebo. Yeah, it might be placebo, but I've done it and I felt like it worked. So I don't know. It could be a placebo though. But yeah, I don't know. I've always was told to just tilt your head forward and have like a towel or something and just kind of let it, you can hold it up to your face or whatever. Just kind of let it drip out or whatever. I don't really run into nosebleeds a lot. I think I did when I was like a kid and I picked my nose a lot. Then I would. But I've. Now I just have a million boxes of Kleenex around my house, and I probably spend like $300 a year on Kleenex. So I'm not a nose picker anymore. I graduated, but like it's. I feel like it. If it does happen randomly, it's always because the air is really dry. It's like in a dry season, like where when I lived in an apartment and I had like baseboard electric heat. Where it would just make the air really dry, I would get a nosebleed. But then once I got a humidifier and there was some humidity and moisture in the air, then it was like fine. And I felt like that helped me. So humidifiers are always good.
Yeah, like I used to like wake up in the middle of the night with my nose bleeding before I
Whoa.
had it cauterized, just because it just happened all the time. And maybe I was picking my nose in my sleep, but I don't think so.
Ooh, sleep picking is
Sleep picking.
the best.
Digging for gold.
So wait, so ever since the surgery, you have not bled from the nose?
It's not a surgery, like it's a
Oh, sorry.
just a quick like procedure, but yeah, I think that pretty much solved it for me.
Did it
Wow.
affect your sense of smell at all?
No.
They probably don't go in that deep.
I don't think so.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that about you. I don't think you've ever bled in front of me.
Oh,
You were a
really?
gentleman, I guess.
Yeah. I would always make sure it would happen in classes that you weren't in.
Thank you for that.
I can't let
Although,
Vince see this.
you could have let it happen in art class, a little Pollock painting. Wow, it took me forever to. I'm like, what's that artist? I have a joke. I couldn't think of it.
Another thing I always think of with nosebleeds is there's an XKCD webcomic, and I don't remember most of them, but basically it he creates a chart or a graph that's like things that are super serious when you see them in movies and super serious when you see them in real life. And it's like nosebleeds are like on the extreme end of like it's not a big deal at all in real life, but if you see it in a movie, you know that that person has like cancer or whatever, because they always use that as a plot device.
Yeah, they used it for the Pacific Rim, that actor. Yeah, but they were like, "Oh, what's up with these nosebleeds?" It was cancer. There was this one killer in a movie called Valentine, and the killer would always bleed from the nose when he was killing or when he was upset. So it would seep through the mask. That was kind of cool.
My wife is watching a vampire show, and like if they use their magical vampire powers too much, they'll get like a nosebleed, because it's like, oh, it's just it like hurt themselves because they use so much magic all at once.
It's
Yeah,
gotta
that's pretty
be.
common too. Like if someone overuses their psychic abilities, they'll get a nosebleed.
Yeah. Maybe that's your problem. You're using your psychic
Wow.
powers too much.
I think that bleeding for the nose is that's not sexy. When I think of vampires, I think like, seduction. But if a vampire's like, "You look into my eyes," and then just got nosebleed like that.
Got the two wadded up tissues.
Oh my gosh. Look into my eyes. All right, are we off of nosebleeds? Should we segue?
Cauterize this topic and seal it off for the next one.
Go ahead, Dave, with the closer.
I want to talk about something I'm on the fence about. I used to hate this. Now I'm kind of on the fence on it because I've found some bands that do this and I like it. And the topic is like scream vocals in like rock music, metal music, where like the lead singer is like screaming into the microphone. And like I always thought it was like super off-putting and I hated it, but I've found some bands that are actually able to like scream in their vocals, and it's actually good. But some bands are terrible. I go to Rockfest every year in Cadott, so this is like where I see new rock bands or metal bands, and like there's different genres of rock. There's, you have metal and heavy metal, then you have like nu metal or deathcore or all these like weird subgenres, and I don't really like, I really hate genres of music and people trying to classify everything in a category. It's super annoying to me. But with like scream vocals, like it can be done properly if it's like showing emotion and like letting like out like anger and like passion about something. But if your scream for every song nonstop the entire time on the entire album, that loses its effect. Where like a very popular band like Linkin Park, they're no long, well, they're kind of around, but like Chester Bennington used to scream in some of his songs, and it was super epic when he would, because he wouldn't always do it. He would use it tactfully and to convey like a lot of emotion. And like this year at Rockfest, there's a couple bands. I sent you guys a couple YouTube video links, and like one band is Knocked Loose. They're like second to last headliner on Thursday night, which is an incredibly prestigious spot to be going on in front of Rob Zombie. And they're just a scream band, and it's the worst sounding vocals of some of the worst sounding vocals ever. I think it's terrible. And like the other band was like The Plottin' You. I think he uses more of like a Linkin Park kind of screaming vocal, where he uses it off and on. It depending on some of his songs. Some of his songs he doesn't scream at all. Some of his songs he screams a lot, but he uses it in a certain way where it's kind of interesting to listen to his albums, because some songs have that to it and some songs don't. Knocked Loose, I don't think I'll even watch that because it just sounds terrible to me. And he has like a very high pitched scream and I think that's off-putting. There's like other scream vocals where it's like super deep, like growling voices that's like almost satanic sounding, and I don't really like that either. But there's like different bands that have gotten popular now, like a different type is like Spirit Box, who has Courtney LaPlante, who's like this Canadian chick, and she will scream her vocals, but I think they use like auto-tune, and they kind of auto-tune the scream, and it sounds really good, but I think it's auto-tune. I think she's faking, but like nobody says that online. Nobody seems to have caught on, I think, that a lot of the screams are actually getting better in music now because they use auto-tune over it. And I think I might be starting to like some scream vocals in metal because they're auto-tuning it. And I've said I hate auto-tune, but maybe this is a version of auto-tune that I actually like because it makes it less harsh and makes it match the music better. But like when I go to Rockfest and there's like scream vocals, usually I don't like it. But it can be okay, I think, sometimes with live music if the drums are really loud, the guitar is really loud, and the vocals are more of like a background instrument to the band, where like if the vocals are super turned up and that's all you hear, then it sounds off-putting. But if they kind of turn down the volume on that and they turn up the volume on the guitars and the drums and stuff, it sounds better. But I don't know. It's something that I used to always hate, and it was just like, ah, this is horrible. I hate it. Now I'm a little more like, okay, I'll listen to this, and sometimes I'll like it, and sometimes I won't. I'm kind of picky about it.
Well, go ahead, John. I was going to say, go ahead.
I was thinking of like when you brought up the topic, I don't listen to a ton of stuff when where they use scream vocals, and I was trying to think it through in my mind. And actually, I was glad you sent those examples because like your points about it really kind of helped me when I listened to them earlier, like solidify kind of my thoughts on it. And it was exactly like it. I like it more when it's used as like an underline or like a emphasis for certain parts or certain themes or whatever, rather than the entire song being screaming or the entire album being that type of vocal. And I found that like the metal and stuff that I do listen to, it is typically that where there's either multiple singers and only one of them is doing the scream vocals, or there's one singer who is doing different types of singing and the scream vocals are only one part of it. There's not a lot of music I listen to where like the entire song is going to be that style of singing.
John, didn't AFI get into that a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, but definitely not completely. But yeah, like I think it, yeah, they kind of used it as punctuation, or I don't know if that's a good way to say it, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm that second band that you sent. Yeah, I totally like mirror everything what you guys are saying. Like, it's just that guy's scream voice in particular, I didn't like. I don't know. It felt weak, and it felt like just the wrong pitch for me, I guess. But the second band, it reminded me of 30 Seconds to Mars. Like, Jared Leto will kind of put in some screamy stuff in his songs, and then I'm thinking, well,
I
yeah.
was gonna say J Jared Leto, he does that on his albums, but I in real life when he performed, like he was at Rockfest last year, he doesn't do any of the screaming anymore. I think his vocal cords may have been damaged or something over the years, and like the part where he would scream in his songs, he would just hold the microphone up to the audience and let the audience scream it so he wouldn't have to. And I was like, I see what you're doing, Jared Leto.
Okay, so John, you're aware of the Misfits. Would Glenn, was he kind of screaming in Earth AD? Or was that
Yeah,
would
I mean, I don't know. Like
kind of?
not to that degree. Like it, Not, I don't know, like not in like the growling kind of, inhuman voice kind of way, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it's kind of there, but like you mentioned, Dave, like when they do the like the low end of the scream. But yeah, I guess it would be more shouting. There is a difference. Oh, Funeral for a Friend. They had two vocalists. That was probably the earliest I've ever heard scream vocals. Girlfriend bought me that CD. She's like, "Yeah, check this shit out." I'm like, "All right, yeah, it's pretty good."
For other
Oh.
reason, I was thinking of this Cradle of Filth album that my same roommate from the previous episode who was hating on the Mona Lisa, he would listen to. But that was one of those multiple vocalist albums. So there was like a there's they have a woman singer who just has like a very beautiful, pure kind of like angelic voice, and then like mix that in with like the metal kind of screaming, which works very well, I think.
What's a band where it's all screams throughout that has success? Like, is there a popular band? You mentioned Spirit Box. I think I've just heard about those guys.
Yeah, she like they don't do a whole lot of screaming. Like their
Oh, okay.
album, it's weird. Her live performances, she does like. It's weird because on her like most recent album, there's like very little screaming at all. But then she kind of redid all of her stuff for her live performances and would include scream vocals to them. And then it was like, oh wow, the live performances are so much better than her albums because she's screaming in the live performances. But it's like, I don't know, it's kind of weird with them. But that like for Rockfest, like on Thursday on the main stage. Like The Plot and You, the band that I like, they do screaming some of the time, but not all the time. But then the next main stage band, Kubla Khan, Texas, screaming the whole time. Next one is Slaughter to Prevail. They're like growl screaming the entire time. Knocked Loose is high pitch screaming the entire time. So there's like three bands in a row on the main stage that are all this kind of weird style of vocals. And Rockfest, if you've been there in Kadot, it's very like casual, or I would say casual fans of music because there's so many people there. The scream vocals are not a big hit. So you look out into the crowd, a lot of people are just like making a weird face, like,
Oh,
what the fuck
shit.
is this? They want to see more traditional styles of singing. Like, they want like Evanescence and Amy Lee to be up there because she can like really hit a good note, and she's got an amazing voice. That's the kind of like mainstream style of music that people generally like. Or like Papa Roach, just conventional type of singing. So like when they go with these heavy bands, I kind of like I don't know, like I would put them on a side stage where the hardcore fans can watch them, but because the mainstream fans aren't into it, and like I'm pretty open to a lot of different styles and I'm still on the fence about it.
There's one band I was thinking of with this called Deaf Heaven. Have you heard of them?
Awesome name.
No. But they're I'm looking at their Wikipedia. Their genre, that the main genre is black gaze, which makes kind of sense. It's like if you think of like what shoegaze is, but then like have it like heavy metal with screaming vocals and stuff. It kind of makes sense to me. But that they're one where like it's all kind of screaming, but it's the music is very like emotional, and it kind of works for that in a way that some of the other bands don't work as well, in my opinion.
Dave, you mentioned how Jared Leto just wouldn't hit those notes. I'm curious if how long will vocalists last doing that shit, you know? I saw oh my God, who were they? They have the song The Taste of Ink. I don't know. But like he would not scream those vocals. Like he just wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And he was like, I don't know, our age, and of course, so it's been like 20 years of the scream vocals. He just can't do it anymore. So I'm curious if like there is a shelf life for those screamer types, you know?
I've heard that. And yeah, I kind of agree with that because I saw Incubus. In Incubus, the guy from Incubus does a lot of screaming and his
Yeah,
stuff.
yeah.
And watching him live, I was like, it seems like over, all of his live or all his recordings on his albums are like from his hit songs came out in like the year 2000. To watch him 20 years later, you're like, he can't scream like that anymore. And his voice sounds like it's just weak and it's not able to kind of do that anymore. So it's like, it does, I feel like it does kind of strain your vocal cords a lot. And it's kind of like the way I've heard people talk about Tiger Woods, where like Tiger Woods was great, but his career wasn't as long because he had all these back injuries because he would have an unnatural swing and he would put too much torque on his lower back the way he would swing because he wasn't using conventional mechanics. And that, made him age sooner than he normally would have. Like maybe that's happening to vocalists in their voice boxes. So,
Yeah, I've
yeah.
heard of like metal singers talking about how they started off with one type of scream and they actually ended up just changing it because it wasn't sustainable the way they were doing it.
You gotta be like the pros, Jared Leto. Those fucking put the mic out to the crowd.
Yeah.
That's so cheap. Oh my gosh. I've seen not in person, but Glenn Danzig. Every once in a while, he won't do it every song, but every once in a while, when like this big thing's coming, he's like he puts the
That
mic
is like my biggest pet peeve. Like,
out.
I absolutely hate it when you're at a live show and the singer is like holding the microphone out to the audience. Like, dude, I paid money to hear you sing the song. This is like the key part of the song, and you stopped singing. And I'm just like, what is happening? Like, it's so annoying to me.
Oasis, Noel Gallagher has a song called Don't Look Back in Anger, and people over in Europe love that fucking song. It's like rolled up with soccer for them, football. So he literally once showed up, never sang a damn word. Everyone sang it back at him. And it's just like, well, thanks. Thanks, Noel. Oh, man.
I watched this band once, like Fire from the Gods, and like I had listened to a couple of their songs, and they were like, there was one song I absolutely loved. The rest of their songs didn't like, but that one song, it was my favorite, and that's why I was gonna watch them at Rockfest. And so I go there, and for that song that I really loved, he goes and brings up like this 6 or 7 year old kid who's holding a
Oh
sign
no.
and has the 7 year old kid sing the chorus to the song. And I'm just like, no, like I don't want to hear a kid singing the song. Like you, it's the one song I wanted to hear and it's just ruined because there's like a little 7 year old singing the song.
Don't care if he's a Make-A-Wish kid. I'm booing him.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I was so pissed.
man. Anything else? Scream vocals? We gotta wait for a minute for a little bit.
I'm not gonna scream my outro, don't worry.
Yeah, just imagine the sustainability is quite bad. Holy shit. I can't. Oh, before we do, I'm not gonna scream, but I can't scream. I have a, I'm like, I can barely yell. I have the Seinfeld voice, like, get the hell out of here, you know, goes to a comedic pitch. Can you guys scream?
As far as I know, I don't know. Never tried.
Not well, I don't think.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I
then
mean,
John's our vocalist.
I could do backup screams.
Oh, backup screams. Okay. Yeah.
This is better than you calling out there.
You know what I do for my outro? I stick the mic out to the crowd. I was Vincent Cloud. Go to a few goldilockbears.com.
Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. I was John Nemeth.
And I was David Lauer. Thanks for listening.
Tell them about the email, John.
Oh, well, we're sick of coming up with our own topics, so get these lazy listeners and viewers to help us out a bit. So if you have something that you love, hate, or are indifferent to, send an email to topics@afewgoldilockbears.com. We'll put a link in the show notes here, and tell us what you love, hate, or are indifferent to, and why. And maybe we'll talk about it on the show.